You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Very good. I lose track of the day. It's a very good Wednesday to you here on a Wednesday edition of All Marine Radio. And quit bitching about me for not starting the program on time. Come on, man. I make all the arrangements, and then I even set a reminder. But when I'm in the post-traumatic winning cone of silence, right? Doesn't work very good. I don't know why. So, I know. It's disappointing. I know. The if you didn't listen to the show yesterday, it is I'm moderately proud of it because the things that we talk about are the considerations that you're going to see. And that you're seeing in motion, so. But it's just us talking, you know. It's just us talking shit. Not talking shit, but it's talking about the stuff that, you know, we've talked about for a long time. I mean, as we've watched these issues, Jeff Kenney's a really smart guy. Tim, really smart guy. But yeah, Iran launches missiles last night, and we'll talk about that here in a little bit. Pretty interesting little thing they did. So we'll talk about that, and then I've got to tell you about give you a post-traumatic winning update. Since I've been doing post-traumatic winning, the reaction here, for whatever reason, has been unbelievable. You know, Marines stand in line after the thing yesterday for an hour to talk to me. Line up and afterwards, and you know they've got something to say, and they're just sitting there waiting to talk. And as always, the stories are just unbelievable. And again, I think I said it yesterday, but I'll say it again. It reinforces for me how many bad families are out there. And I don't mean bad evil. I mean just they're just fucked up. And young people come out of them. And they're hurting to be around people who understand, who get their pain. And I don't know that our schools, you know, do that so much anymore. I think our schools are so busy trying to make sure that nobody gets their feelings hurt. They don't make them strong and ready to face the world. In fact, I believe that. And so there's so much There's so many broken families out there. There's so much bad parenting. And then they stand up and tell you these stories. I had one kid come up to me and said, you know, my mom abused my sister and I. And again, they don't know me from Adam. The only thing they know is I've stood up and told them the truth about my life. And which is, in my opinion, amazing that they'll walk up to a complete stranger who they've spent the last 3 hours with. And I do my best to trim the time off, but the challenge has been, you know, there's so much good stuff in post-traumatic winning. And I mean, like, now audio from Libby, audio from Parker, audio from Matt Kiker, and all the other great stuff that's in there. I had a staff sergeant and a warrant officer come up to me, and we were talking afterwards. They were just like, sir, this is unbelievable. We heard it was good, so we were kind of curious because everybody always hates this stuff. But we've heard good things about it from our friends and from guys who went yesterday. And I said, so what'd you think? I said, I'm trying to make it shorter. And they both looked at me and said, don't. And the staff sergeant said, what would you cut out? I couldn't tell you one thing in that presentation that I would tell you that you could lose. I was like, well. He said, sir, look, it's the fastest 3 minutes I've ever had. And he said, it's the best thing I've ever seen. And so, you talk about humbling. But anyway, this Marine comes up to me yesterday. And he says, you know, my mom abused my sister and I. I was probably 6 and my sister 4 at the time. She used to cut us. She cut the insides of our mouths. And you hear these stories. And, it's god-awful stuff, man. And they feel so alone. That's the problem. Nobody could understand me. And then what happens, one of the magical things I think about post-traumatic winning, and especially its evolution, is that you have, like, the Sergeant Major of the MAW, Jake Reif. I mean, he's not here because he's at what's called the Capstone event, which is major, you know, which is general officers and their sergeant majors that are going to command units. They go through a thing. So anyway, he's up there this week, but he made a video to start the presentation and to end it. And then I messed with him unbeknownst to him. But anyway, but he talks in the video. He talks about, well, you know what? Let me play a little snippet because I was working on a presentation. I was tweaking the presentation this morning, but let me play just a snippet that I steal from the back and play at the front end of this. And here's a Sergeant Major talking. These are his closing remarks. Here's a little snippet of it, though.
This training had a profound effect on me when I saw it at Camp Lejeune last year, as I have the scars of trauma all over me, from my abusive stepmother to finding out my two-day-old son has a heart defect and that would require open-heart surgery, to the loss due to death or wounds of 25% of my first company as a first sergeant. I've taken the body blows life has dealt out just as you have.
And so when they hear that, I mean, the look on their face is, you know, they can't believe, because, again, they don't believe that people older than them are dealing with shit. And it's why it's so important that people stop faking it, that you're not dealing with shit. And again, nobody wants to be that guy, right? Nobody wants to be the whiny guy. But it's not about being whiny. It's just being the truth. And it's what I've seen, right, since I've done this for a year now. And whether it's what I do, what General Furness does. But to me, it's important that somebody from their command's got to stand up and do it. And it's important for a couple reasons. One, it's important that the Marines see that somebody wearing a uniform, because I'm not, is not afraid to do this. And I think it's important for the other leaders in the room to see somebody who's in a leadership role do it. Because if they're doing it, then guess what that means? Yeah, that means you're supposed to do it too. So you better. So it's been unbelievable this week. And last night, the most spouses that have ever showed up at an event, and there was other guys who showed up at the event, Marines, who had heard about it, and showed up last night, which has never happened. And then, and I'll post a picture of this, but I do the thing last night at, I don't even know the place where I did it. And then I hung out later, like I always do, to talk to people. I get ready to pack my stuff up, and sitting on my stuff is a metal bracelet. And I look, I'm like, well, that's not mine. Like, what is it? And I look, and it's the POW MIA bracelet for Admiral Stockdale. And it says Captain James B. Stockdale, United States Navy, 9 September 1965. And I just looked at it. Somebody who had seen the presentation either earlier in the day or on Monday came back and watched it again and gave me it. And I don't know if they had this bracelet in their possession. I assume they did, and gave it to me and never said a word, didn't introduce themselves, none of it. And so talk about cool things. I mean, and to me, Admiral Stockdale, I mean, I use him as an example during the presentation. The first thing is the Stockdale paradox. And I'll play the audio from the Stockdale paradox right now so you can hear it. But it has to do with confronting the truth. And, you know, I tell everybody, that's what we're here to do today. We are going to confront the truth today about what it is to live with trauma. And I think the Stockdale paradox is important, but here it is.
And I got depressed reading the book because it seemed so bleak. It seemed so difficult. It seemed, you know, it's like we can all endure anything if we know it's going to come to an end and we know when. But what if you don't know if it's ever going to come to an end? And you certainly don't know when. So I asked Admiral Stockdale how he dealt with that. And he said, you have to realize I never got depressed because I never, ever wavered in my faith that not only I would get out, but I would turn being in the camp into the defining event of my life that in retrospect I would not trade. Later, when we were up the hill, I asked him, I said, Admiral Stockdale, who didn't make it out as strong as you? And he said, easy, it was the optimists. I said, the optimists? You sounded optimistic. He said, no, I was not optimistic. I never wavered in my faith that I would prevail in the end, but I was not optimistic. I said, what's the difference? Well, the optimists always thought we'd be out by Christmas. Of course, Christmas would come and it would go. And then we were going to be out by Easter and Thanksgiving, and then Christmas would come again, and they died of a broken heart. And that's when Admiral Stockdale grabbed me by the shoulders and said, this is what I learned. When you're facing, you're imprisoned by great calamity, by great difficulty, by great uncertainty, you have to, on the one hand, never confuse the need for unwavering faith that you will find a way to prevail in the end, with, on the other hand, the discipline to confront the most brutal facts we actually face. And we're not getting out of here by Christmas.
So I played that audio during the first part of the presentation and say that that's what we're here to do. And then I kind of plant a seed. And I said, you know, Admiral Stockdale's leadership at the Hanoi Hilton is one of the most interesting reads. And there's elements of post-traumatic winning throughout the whole, throughout that whole thing. And I said, and I want you to remember a data point. 4% of those in the Hanoi Hilton came out with PTSD, diagnosed PTSD. The rate for the rest of Vietnam is 30%. Now, how could that be in men that were held in captivity, in solitary confinement, who were tortured for years? How could that be? And I say, when I first heard that, I thought it was bullshit. And then I read about it, and I found out that it wasn't. I said, so we're going to come back to that, but I want you to remember that data point. And then later on in the presentation, we come back and we talk about the transformation that took place at the Hanoi Hilton among, you know, those mostly aviators as they were put together in groups of 50 for the last couple of years, and the way they took care of each other and the way they essentially transformed each other's life. And I use that at the end as kind of a recommended case study, but a walking, talking, living example in American history of even in the most extreme circumstances, that we as human beings are capable of rising not only above it, but well beyond it, and using it as a transformational experience. And there was a recent, I think, survey, and I think 70% of those surveyed who were held in the Hanoi Hilton said if they had to do it again, they would not avoid that experience in their lives, which is, I mean, amazing. And so, post-traumatic winning the last 2 days here at New River has been, I use the phrase, you've heard me say it, but good on top of good on top of good on top of good. The Marines' response has been amazing. The response from leaders has been incredible. So, I'll do it again this morning, and then we transition down to New River tomorrow and do it there. And on Friday, do it for the 2nd Marine Division at Camp Lejeune. So, and looking forward to that. Looking forward to that. Pretty exciting stuff. Anyway, good morning to you on this Wednesday morning. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this event official. Good morning to you. And this is dedicated to all the Marines here who've come up to talk to me. I met a young Marine yesterday with my last name, and she came up and shook my hand and wanted to talk about this. And I want to read a little bit of an email that I got last night. Again, these things kind of, they come into my inbox and they land with a thud, and they need no salesman. Good morning, sir. My name is X. I'm a Lance Corporal stationed in Cherry Point and just recently attended your post-traumatic winning speech. I've had a long line of bullshit up until this point in my life, and this class really spoke to me. It's honestly like it was meant to be, because I've been having an extremely hard time lately coping with my brother's death. He was also a Marine, an infantry Marine, a reservist. Never saw combat, never deployed. He was the epitome of the weekend warrior, and I always loved to fuck with him. And he liked to fuck with me because I'm a desk jockey and paper pusher. But July 3rd of 2017, he hung himself in the woods right outside his other job. It fucked me up because his feet could have touched the ground. He left a note. He said, "Welcome it, bro. It's coming whether you like it or not. You can't stop it. So ride it out like a boss homie." That's all that asshole said. What does that even mean? Ha 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 ha. But needless to say, this was the most traumatic thing I've ever gone through. That kid was my fucking best friend. We literally did everything together, and I mean everything. To say my depression came back and took over my life for a long time, I drink myself to sleep every night. The people around me tried to get me help, but I refused to talk to anyone. Counselors were never my cup of tea. To be honest, I don't like their facial expressions. Makes me want to punch them in the face. But in all seriousness, class really spoke to me. Because I am at this level of happiness that you're speaking of. I hit fucking rock bottom. I lived it, and I bounced back, and I've helped thousands of people fight depression and suicide. And then he sent me a song, and you'll hear it. And then at the end, he writes, "Thanks again, sir." And that's just one text messages I've received. And that's why this is the coolest job in the world. And so this is dedicated to all the Marines that have come. But it's also dedicated to all the different people. You know, first and foremost, General Furness, who made this happen. And in spite of people telling him, you can't do this. You and him are friends. It's unethical. You know, it took no small amount of, you know, professional courage to do what he did. But he knew. And that's what I love about my friends. They're not afraid. And then all the people like Libby, right, who taught me, you know, that knowing this stuff wasn't enough. It was the act of giving that was so significant. Matt Kiker and Parker and all the people that have developed this product and made suggestions and told me things and taught me things. You know, that email, you know, from somebody who walks in and so alone and in a dark place, who's struggling. And all of a sudden, you know, you can walk in and turn the light on in the room. You know, it's just amazing, you know. And so, you know, to the people that came up to me, to the people who have made this series, you know, Bob Nielsen, you know, and Ken Rogers, who've been a huge influence on me, Jack Riley. I mean, all those people are evident in this presentation that I do. So it's truly an incredible thing to watch happen. And every day that I do it, I know that I'm conducting a deliberate ambush on these Marines. They come in, and now it's a little bit different because a lot of them have heard about it. But like the Marine with my last name comes up to me. She goes, "I've listened to you for a long time. And I wanted to meet you." And I said, "Are you kidding me?" She said, no, I saw your last name. And somebody told me about your program months ago. And so I started listening. And I love your show. And I just wanted to come up and talk to you. And I've had my own issues in my life. And so it's, I mean, that, and that'll happen again today. And so it's just, honestly, it's just an unbelievable experience. And, oh, by the way, I got an email again from the Space Command yesterday. Yeah, the Space Command is interested in post-traumatic winning. Also got an email from the Air Force again. They're having an event in Orlando, Florida in a couple months and want me to come to that. So, post-traumatic winning continues to, you know, go to far galaxies. And again, the important thing is change people's lives, because I believe it, and the Marines believe it now. We can turn those numbers around. We can turn those numbers around. But again, you got to stop faking it, and you've got to talk about it, and it's got to start with leaders. And it starts with shit like not saying, as I've said before, this is important and you need to pay attention. That's bullshit. You've got to go open kimono, man. You've got to say, hey, let me tell you about me, like the Sergeant Major did a few minutes ago. So it's pretty humbling. It's pretty exciting. And it's incredibly touching to watch these young people come up and feel like somebody actually gets it, somebody actually understands. And so for everybody that's had a piece of that, I wish you could, honestly, I wish you could be here to see it. And so, this is dedicated for all y'all.
Betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Early morning weather here. Yeah, I haven't even been able to do shithole weather, which leaves a void in my life, I'm not going to lie to you. Currently in Quantico, dark, clear, and 32 degrees right now. Here at Cherry Point, North Carolina, dark, clear, and 34. 29 Palms, dark, cloudy, and 44. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton is cold. Clear, dark, and 41 degrees. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark, cloudy, and 70. Okinawa, dark, cloudy, and 61. In Afghanistan, it got colder, too. Late in the day, the sun's up 50 degrees in Afghanistan. In Al-Anbar, it is sunny and 62 degrees in the land of the Euphrates River. Yeah, but there's a lot of shit going on. We'll talk about that after we take a break. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is fair and 51. Yeah, up to 80 yesterday. Are you kidding me? 66 today in Southern California. 63 tomorrow and 68 on Friday. None of which will impact my life. So, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good,
but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I'm gonna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears. When I reach there, I'll scream, yeah, I'll let it all out.
We continue on a Wednesday, and obviously the number one story around the world is last night Iran fired approximately a dozen intercontinental ballistic missiles at two American installations. One is Al-Asad in western Iraq in the Al-Anbar province, and the other one, which I've been to, the other one is on a few times, on a number of occasions. And then the other one is a place called Erbil. You'll see it spelled with an I and also with an E, and it's north of Baghdad. It was very, you know, important during the Mosul fight. The those are two bases, and but I just want to I want to pull two issues apart here before I go do post-traumatic winning this morning. And before we talk about the missiles, I want to talk about the vote to expel the United States from Iraq. I think it's important that all of you that you listen to this program clearly look for information outside of normal mainstream media, which this clearly is not. And so so if you when this happens, turn on Al Jazeera and listen to the voice of the Arab world. And you know, some of it is aggravating, but let me tell you, it's no more aggravating than listen to the bullshit that's on, you know, American television with American politicians who don't know the history of the region, who don't know the history of the conflict, who don't seem to understand the history of appeasing totalitarian regimes, and all they're doing is playing for political points. I don't know that I think they probably both anger me in the same way when I hear them. So I just hit the mute button. But what you will hear is you will hear. More informed people in the region that have a non-American perspective, which I think helps round out your perspective. So if you listen to that, if you read some of the stuff that was coming out of Al Jazeera, nobody there believes that Iraq is going to ask the United States to leave. It's only in the American media that you see that stupidity, you know. And again, it's, I would tell you, you know, blow the hot air in there, I mean, and let's create clickbait. By far the most stupid thing I've seen is all of a sudden we're going to talk about the draft again. You know, that to me, it's almost like somebody's got a, you know, a plan of action to use for clicks when there's a conflict. Hey, we know we can get, right, you know, an extra 8 million clicks if we just start writing articles on the draft. Because all these people that don't want to be drafted will shit their pants. And then they'll click on it. So anyway, I find it interesting. But if you, and we talked about this, the United States is an essential component of Iraqi security. It is absolutely essential. If the Iraqi Shiite leaders of that nation don't want to see a straight-up civil war start between the Sunnis and them, that the Americans stay. The Americans provide stability. And they know that. And so if you listen to the commentators on Al Jazeera, what they said was the vote was an expression of Iraqi anger. Right? They don't like. And what was most interesting, they don't like foreign powers on their soil. What was most interesting about it is that they did not specifically name the United States. They said all foreign militaries. Wait a minute. There's more than one? Who else would be there? The United States, its allies, Iran too? Hmm. And when you heard some of the rhetoric coming out of Muqtada al-Sadr, he said all foreign elements out of Iran, out of Iraq. So to me, what was interesting about that whole discussion, if you paid attention to it, was that the comments were directed at Iran too. But even Sadr said, we need people to act in a very responsible way at this hour. Well, what does that mean? That's not the normal bloviated, overheated rhetoric that we hear. So to me, one of the things I enjoy about this program is that, you know, we talked about that last, you know, with Jeff Kenney last Thursday. And then, you know, the segment that you heard yesterday when we OPT and go around the wheel. What's at stake for the Iraqis? If the Iraqis, you know, say, tell the Americans, okay, get out. You got to leave. We don't want you here anymore. And if the United States ultimately did that, the Iraqis can't secure that country. So it descends into chaos. So everything that goes now, and think about this, just not American, right, troops. Think about the American money that flows in and all the people that are making money off of that. So this American gravy train that comes with American military involvement, all those politicians are getting a slice of it. So there's a series of layers here when you look at these issues. So when you look at that Iraqi resolution, don't look at it as like a vote for Americans to leave. Look at it as an expression of their sentiment about being violated. And then when you get beyond that and you have a real discussion, you'll see that greater than 50% do not give a shit that guy's dead. They want the Iranians out of the country. They'd like to see the Americans out of the country too. All right. And so the vast majority of Iraqis do not give a shit that dude's dead. Now, again, when the TV camera gets thrown on, they'll do the right thing. But so that's the first thing I want to talk about. And again, you can find Al Jazeera on the internet. Just A-L space J-A-Z-Z and then hit enter and it'll pop up. And like I said, sometimes I have to hit the mute button when I hear the Iranian apologist and some of the crazy people that they have on that I don't like. But I'll tell you what, they have some pretty astute people there that will give you a non-American perspective, and I think that's important if you want to form a good opinion. So anyway, let's talk about the Iranian response. In my opinion, this is what happened. Through back channels, somehow or other, the President of the United States communicated with Iran, if you fuck with us, if you kill Americans, right, I'm going to lay the wood to your ass. And the Iranians communicated, we will retaliate. But we will not harm any Americans. You have to allow us that. And that is for internal consumption for our country, so that we can say we struck back. We are not interested in going to war. So I don't know how that shit got communicated, but here's my prediction. The President of the United States is going to go on television today, this morning, and he's going to tell the American people that the United States of America is not interested in a war with Iran. But he will not sit idly by and allow Americans to be killed and Iran to run amok in the Middle East. And that is why. And he will lay out part of the intelligence, which is, you know, in terms of the basis for the strike that he undertook when he killed Qasem Soleimani. And he'll lay that case out for the American people. And my prediction is then the ball goes to Iran's court. Now, if you remember yesterday, okay, if you remember yesterday, if the President of the United States, if his sentiment, right, is the same as Vito Corleone, when Vito Corleone warns everybody that he's going to bring his son Michael back to the country, and he's a superstitious man, and if any bad luck befalls his son, there's going to be trouble, okay? And so this, again, I'm going to play this again because I love the audio. It's 45 seconds.
My younger son was forced to leave this country because of this Sarazzo business. All right, I have to make arrangements to bring him back here safely, clear of all these false charges. But I'm a superstitious man. And if some unlucky accident should befall him, if he should get shot in the head by a police officer, or if he should hang himself in his jail cell, or if he's struck by a bolt of lightning, then I'm going to blame some of the people in this room. And that I do not forgive.
So if the President of the United States adopts that philosophy, which he seems to have, it is America at its strongest, right? America at its weakest is nation building and insurgencies because it's just so hard. It's just so hard, and we got involved in two of those by our own, inept handling of international affairs and our, you know, mistakes and stupidity led by general officers of the United States military and foolish American politicians, not heeding the lessons of history. But I think what I find most interesting is I believe the Iranians were allowed, communicated to the United States, do not respond. We're going to fire ICBMs into the desert. They will not harm, but they will allow us to look at our people and say, we've avenged Soleimani's death. And you have to allow us that. The United States will then say, all right, not a problem. Not one American better be touched. And that appears to be what happened. I haven't seen any reports of substantial damage to any facilities. So the Iranians essentially, for internal consumption, shoot ICBMs, right, which, you know, big glow in the sky, you know, the nation's responding for internal consumption, all that, and then, you know, I'm sure they'll lie about the damage that they've inflicted, right, and the United States will allow that. And then the ball is in Iran's court. And so the reason I play that audio is that's Vito Corleone, right, looking at the other godfathers, the other heads of families, and telling them, if you conduct any type of hybrid warfare against me, against my son, and that means if you use a cop to kill my son, or any other stupid event kills my son, I'm coming for you. And the President of the United States has essentially told Iran that. And that is American power. And in my opinion, you're going to see Iran gyrate, attempt to salvage its integrity, but not fuck with the United States. And the reason why they won't fuck with the United States is because they can't. The United States is too powerful. And if they do that, they risk the regime. They risk the Republican cards becoming weaker, the hold on the nation becoming more tenuous, and they will not do that. They will not do that. So I think the events of the last 40 hours have been very interesting to see, you know, what exactly will Iran do. Now, okay, they fire missiles into the desert. That's their response. Got it. And again, the next shoe to fall is the thing that, you know, Jeff and Tim and I have talked about for a long time, and that is the Iranian ability to conduct hybrid warfare. And you go back to the American hostages, you go back to the bombing of the barracks in Beirut, and the way with Suleiman as one of the architects, the way they have stood up proxies, the way their proxies have taken on the United States, and then we hammer the proxy and Iran never gets touched. So, I mean, it's been a very successful strategy. And all of a sudden, President Trump, I think, has taught, and again, I'm not his biggest fan, but I will say this, he's taught people, I think, a lesson in American power, right? And that is this. America, there's certain occasions when America should respond, and it should respond forcefully, and it has no need to be afraid of a nation like Iran. No need at all. So, pretty interesting news overnight. But so again, as far as I've seen so far, and I'm sure maybe we'll find out more when the president speaks this morning, that there has been no injuries, and I haven't seen any reports of any significant damage. Now, if there was, you'd know about it because, you know, between the number of Iraqi media people, you know, that are out and about, the number of cell phones, you know, Americans and sat phones that exist, you cannot bottle up bases like, you know, Erbil and Al-Assad. You can't shut off all the communications. So if there was people killed, if there was substantial damage, you would have heard about it already. And we've got no report. So again, that's my look into the crystal ball, was somehow or other via back channels. Right, the United States was made aware of this will be the response, right? And so again, Iran trying to save face in the region. Now the question becomes, if there's any hybrid attempts, right, will the Vito Corleone warning be applied? And you know, if I was the president of the United States, I would tell them, look, I will sink every ship in your navy, and then and come for most of the Iranian guards is the next move. And make no mistake about it, we'll vaporize that stuff, because that's what we're really good at. So now I've got to head out the door. It'll be interesting. Jeff Kenney and Tim Lynch will join me tomorrow here on All Marine Radio. But again, I apologize for not starting. And it's stupid because I record it, I get it all set up, and then I forget to start it. And I look at my watch, and I'm on stage doing post-medic right now. And I look, I'm like, oh, shit. So maybe I'll have the crowd. I'll ask them to remind me at 11 o'clock to make sure I started on time. So hopefully I do. If not, sorry about that. Anyway, Tim Lynch, Jeff Kenney tomorrow talking about the rock attack. We'll get their thoughts on it. And we'll also get their thoughts on the president and whatever happens today. So on a Wednesday, and it's been so far an incredible week. Me with my Captain James Stockdale POW MIA bracelet. I've never had one of these before. And I can't tell you how cool I think it is that somebody left this for me. Yeah, I mean, talk about your heart growing and getting touched and having another Grinch moment. Something that seems to happen to me on a ton of occasion. So anyway, on that note, have a great Wednesday. We'll be back tomorrow live from... We'll be live from Camp Lejeune tomorrow. So have a great day on a Wednesday. All Marine Radio, over and out.